Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from Training Camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, here's D-Mac.
It is first and 10 from the... from the Broncos' goal line. They're trying to drive right now. They're trying to figure out, how do we get in this mess? I mean, somehow we just got... Dylan, you're standing literally right my way, my man. I love you. Thank you, pal. So, I'm in the 10. Vaughn is trying to get the crowd pumped up. The defense is trying to convince the crowd that if they make a good play, it's a positive thing. But if you come out here to training camp, you realize that... the crowd just wants the offense to succeed and the defense to constantly fail. That's essentially what the deal is. Here's the snap. Keenum drops back, throws it deep down the right sideline, and Cortland Sutton makes the catch, dodges the receiver. They throw a flag. He's in the open. Cortland Sutton to the end zone. Touchdown, Cortland Sutton. Come on, man. I can do it, right? What do you think, guys? Just call the touchdown. Yeah. All right. But seriously, fellas, you think he would have been tackled right there? Did they throw a flag on Sutton? On who? I mean, that's another play by Cortland Sutton. I mean, here we go again. That ball was actually a little bit underthrown. And Roby interference. Sutton goes up, snatches it. You know what? He may have... there was another defender right there. This is against the ones, fellas. I mean, you just caught it. You just caught another moment, right? Like, we've been talking about Cortland Sutton all this time. And there's a moment right there. Paxton Lynch is it. I can do a little play-by-play with Paxton Lynch. Same situation. First down on his own 5-yard line. Drops back, throws it to the sideline, and it's 19 feet out of bounds. So, I mean, we can do it both ways, you know. That was a beautiful ball by Case Keenum down the right sideline. He had to put that at least, I don't know, 50-something yards in the air. That was pretty cool. That just happened right in front of us. I love it. All right, that's pretty good. Well, nothing stops us from doing play-by-play, right? Who knows, right? I don't think they own the broadcast rights to practice. So, right. So, I'll do it again. Well, why not, right? You want to know what's going on. They're backed up. They're at their own goal line. Paxton Lynch. What do we got? Three wides? Who knows? I can't see anything. I'm blind as a bat. Somebody's in motion. I think that's Demarius. No, it can't be Demarius. It's with the twos. An out route to... that's a running back. Royce Freeman. Thank you. I got spotters left and right here. I got the most talented spotters in the world. I love it. We're loaded here. Cease, come in. Come over here, Cease. You can help me do some color. Yeah. I mean, just grab one of them headsets right there. So, I mean, we got Cecil. I got Sandy on later. We got Orlando. We got Kevin Kistner. We got my man Dylan. We got John Davis. We're loaded.
John Davis from Corn.
Oh, my God. It's awesome. So, all right, see, I'll do the play-by-play. You do the color.
Okay, all right.
All right, Paxton in the gun, gets the snap, drops back, throws it over, slant over the middle, fifth, intercepted by Zaire Anderson for a pick six.
That's a bold strategy, D-Mac. We'll see if it works out for him.
Oh, it was incomplete.
Incomplete.
Oh, okay, gosh.
Incomplete.
All right, but did that pass look as horrible as I think it looked, Cecil?
It was absolutely terrible because he locked onto his initial target as soon as the ball was snapped. He wasn't looking anywhere else. He wasn't reading the defense. Just threw it right to the defender.
Right. It's actually Zaire. He probably should have taken that to the house, right?
And there's why Zaire Anderson may not make the team. That's basically a handed off to you in the end zone.
I'm going to say it's third and six. I can't really see, but that's a fun
sounds good
distance. Snap to Lynch. Lynch swings it over to Phillip Lindsay. Lindsay jukes Zaire Anderson, goes up the left sideline, maybe for a first down.
Just proof that Paxton Lynch can even make Phillip Lindsay look bad.
Hey, let's just talk about, for a second, rewind a tad, to that huge pass we just saw to Cortland Sutton. Sees.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, that was great because it was on Bradley Roby. And you see the physicality, and you see it was a shorter throw. Like, if he had led Cortland Sutton, that is wide open, untouched all the way down. But he threw it short. Sutton adjusted to the ball. got it in, 2 feet down, turned it upfield, made a move, and that would have been a big score, a big touchdown. Yet again today, earlier in practice, defense was getting it done. Broncos offense comes out with
a big
play.
Better play-by-play, but Orlando Franklin is eclipsing the sun right here. No, it's okay. You're good, Orlando. Just stand right in my way. I'm not short enough. Thank you. Orlando, you come over here. Wait, I can do this. Come on, you can be our other analysis person right here. There you go. Throw those on. This is a great broadcast team right here. Can you imagine?
Look at that, man.
D-Mac, Orlando Franklin, Cecil Lammy on the broadcast. Come on, Orlando. Have you ever done play-by-play before?
Nope.
No, he's barely done radio. It's incredible what he's doing. Yeah, all right. What do you see there, Orlando? Oh, it's Chad Kelly in the game.
Chad Kelly in.
Chad Kelly under center. It's first down and 10 from his own 5-yard line. I'll do it like Brockmeyer. Takes back, hands it off to somebody. Who knows? Can't tell anything here. Orlando, what's your take on that play? Oh, hold on. We're having microphone issues. Microphone issues. Cecil, hand. What's that? Oh, there you go.
All right.
Yeah. We'll put the headphones on.
There we go.
I'll walk you through it. All right. It's Orlando Franklin. Say hi, Orlando. Make sure we're working here.
Hey, everybody. How are you
there
going?
There you go. Cecil Lammy. We're live at day 7 of Broncos training camp. We're going to go with 2nd and 6. Chad Kelly in
Sounds
the gun.
Good.
Drops back, looking for a receiver. Chase around the pocket. He's moving, and it's a sack. That's a sack, right, Orlando? You don't get that much time in training camp, do you?
No, that's definitely a sack. It's 3-second rule.
3-second rule. Yeah. All right, blame an offensive lineman there. Who screwed up?
I do not know. Maybe the whole offensive line.
Exactly.
It is the third string, and that's one thing about Chad Kelly that you almost feel bad about, because how many times have we seen him hit a wide-open guy and the guy just drops it?
Yeah.
How many times have we seen him run for his life because his third-string offensive line, shocker of all shockers, isn't really that good?
You know what we're seeing here today, fellas, in Orlando, is we're seeing a lot of – I think we're seeing as much team practice today as we've seen all training camp. When you get into this mold, Orlando, it's just time to play football at some point in training camp. And we're seeing as much as we have. Is that your impression of today?
Yeah, it's very interesting to see that coming off the goal line drill. And I've seen a lot of team periods today, more than I've seen since I've been out here. So you're getting into the bulk of training camp. I'm excited to see if they'll do a whole goal line scrimmage today. That'd be exciting to watch.
Yeah, you know, a lot of teams on this day, they do the orange versus white, you know, black versus blue, you know, whatever it is, right? All right, so we're starting out 1st and 10. We've got Booker in the slot going 4 wide, 1st and 10. Keenum in the gun. A lot of gun stuff today, by the way, fellas. The new NFL. Snap to Keenum, drops back, looks to his right, throws it out to the sideline, caught by... No, incomplete. Incomplete. Incomplete.
That was Tim Patrick on the sidelines.
Tim Patrick. Your impressions of Tim Patrick so far, Cecil?
Well, the big wingspan you see on that play. Didn't get 2 feet down, so you got to work on that body control. But clearly you can see the catch radius that Tim Patrick has. He's a big target and getting first-team reps, along with Austin Traylor. We got to say, since Jeff Hireman's been out, and does anyone even remember that guy?
No.
Austin Traylor's been the guy to get the most first-team reps with the tight ends.
All right, we're in an interesting formation. We got Jano spread out with who's Jake Butt. We got DT out wide. The players are a little bit in our way. There's a quick – oh, man, we've seen that play 10 million times, Orlando. Yeah. How many times have we seen that play right there?
We've seen it a lot, scored a lot of touchdowns on that. So,
what do you love about that play as an offensive lineman?
Oh, it's just a quick hitting play. And as offensive lineman, you can get out there in space and just waylay on a defender. So
it's
awesome. I mean, you got 315 pounds. You're going to go up against a little cornerback and just punish him.
So your job as a guard there, initial contact, but you know you're getting to that second level to destroy somebody as quickly as humanly possible, right?
Yeah.
That play we've seen 10 million times, Cecil.
Well, and it's nice to know that Bill Musgrave is going to take from everyone, including Mike McCoy, because that's a Mike McCoy play.
Yeah, we used to call that Mickey and Minnie.
We got Orlando, or rather, Emmanuel Sanders in the slot. We've seen Sanders in the slot a lot in this camp. Keenum drops back, throws it over the middle, and there's Sanders.
Yep.
All right, wow. And look at him go. I mean, he's had an outstanding camp. Sanders takes it to the house. The crowd roars in approval. I think he would have been sacked about, tackled maybe 30 yards previous, but that's okay. Nobody's going to tackle you.
But look at those Jets. The ankle injury that plagued Emmanuel Sanders. And we all need to recognize that. Now, we had so many other things to say about Emmanuel Sanders, but the one thing from last year that is evident is that ankle wasn't right. It is right today.
Yeah, he's had an outstanding camp. Orlando, in terms of just getting Emmanuel Sanders in the slot, it's different maybe than he thought, but it's pretty effective when you can just get the ball in the hands of fast guys quickly.
Yeah, it creates mismatches all day long, too. I mean, because typically you want to have your dime in, but if the Broncos are playing fast this year and just not really substituting a lot, he's going to get the mismatches that he wants, and he's going to be able to run away from a linebacker or just be able to be a technician in there and run those different choice routes, and this offense could be successful because of it. He's a veteran player, and I would love to see him play a lot more of the slot. I want to see him go into this season and just be the Broncos slot receiver.
I think that's the way it's going. I don't know if that's necessarily an insult, but I think what you have to...
I've seen DT sometimes in the slot also, though.
Why not? What you have to do is get Cortland Sutton out on the field. All right, Paxton Lynch in now. He's got Deshaun Hamilton. 89 Cecil, help me out real quick.
Much more comfortable in the shotgun.
And this is just a quick out to Andy Janovich.
That's your guy, Jano.
For an amazing 1 yard.
And that's Brian Parker, 89, the
89,
kid from Albany.
Sorry. Janovich, Orlando. Tough call here. Do you, with David Williams and Philip Lindsay, D'Angelo Henderson, with the tight ends who look pretty effective in that kind of H-back role, is there room for Andy Janovich?
I believe so. I mean, the one thing that I've noticed, every special teams period that we go to, Janovich is on the special teams. He's going to play every special teams for you, and he's going to be able to go in there. And when you get in that those tough downs, those third and ones, those third and twos, and you want to have that fullback lead up on that linebacker and basically escort that running back, you want Janovich in there because he's a guy that's just going to go in there and do what it's done, do what he's supposed to do. It's not going to look pretty every time, but he's going to get that block, and he's going to stick on that linebacker.
All right, let's take a peek at who's the offensive line here, guys. Let's just, you know, one of the...
Cyrus Quandro at left tackle, a player that the Broncos are high on. We got to watch Cyrus at left tackle. Could make this team as a swing tackle.
Ooh, we got Max Garcia at left guard. Is that the kid from TCU at center, 71, I believe. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name off the top.
Schlotman.
There he is. And our right guard is it Menelik? And Billy Turner at right tackle. Am I right on that? I believe so.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Okay, Menelik Watson, Orlando. The role for him this year is going to be what?
It's hard to say at this point. I mean, I was really high on Menelik Watson until last week I heard this, the audio of him talking to Chris Long and saying how basically garbage he was. So I just don't think he's mentally tough enough to be on this team. I don't think he makes this team right now.
Max Garcia? I mean, we're talking about guys who were starters who are now repping with the twos in a sort of backup sort of role. Max Garcia.
The year of the Super Bowl, Max did a great job at that swing guard spot. I mean, coming in for Luis Vasquez and coming in for Evan Mathis. So I think that he makes the team as that backup guard, and he's able where his role is not too much, and he's just able to be successful at just doing that. If someone goes down, go in for a little bit, wait until Larry and them get back healthy, and that's really just his role.
We just saw a classic training camp moment with Zach Azani, the wide receivers coach, so frustrated with 19 there, Cecil.
What was that, Leslie?
Jordan Leslie.
Yeah, Jordan Leslie.
He's so ticked off. He takes his play sheet and throws it 20 feet in the air.
Throws it to the heavens.
Like, you don't know what we're doing. What is that? And, I'm Jordan Leslie. That may be the only time we say Jordan Leslie, period.
Here's the thing with Paxton Lynch. Again, we're seeing taking off to run and only reading things short. Going to short throws late. You just saw a short throw by Chad Kelly, and that worked to River Craycraft because it was on time. With Paxton, it's read, now I'm going to go short, not being in time, not being in rhythm, and then taking off to run if it's not there. He's not challenging the defense deep.
There is a little interesting thing on the offensive line, and that is the, help me out, TCU kid again.
Schlotman.
Schlotman is the backup center, or the second team center right now, not Sam Jones. Sam Jones is a guard at Arizona State. Sam Jones from Thunder Ridge High School in Highlands Ranch. So Schlotman comes as an undrafted guy and is getting those second team center reps over Sam Jones, who's a drafted guy. Orlando, what does that mean to guys on the offensive line? How is that perceived?
it's perceived that Sam Jones is just not really ready to make those checks right now.
Okay.
I mean, he's a rookie, and he does – his development right now is just not there to go into center. The center
– it's more of a scheme sort of check thing more than a physical thing? Is that what you're saying?
Just it's more of what he knows.
He's
not making those checks, and he's not making the right calls, and that's why he's probably not in there at so early and often in training camp.
So that means there's something that's happening in meeting rooms, in that sort of thing. That matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that right?
I mean, especially at that center position, they're the second quarterback on the field. They're getting all the five offensive linemen on the exact same page. So you got to have an intelligent guy at that center position because you could plug anybody else in those other positions.
You know, and to defend Sam a little bit, like, I don't know what Schlottman did at TCU. I assume he played center. He's a big center, by the way. I believe the guy's 6'6". But Sam Jones played guard. Oh, who dropped that ball right there? I just saw Isaiah McKenzie, by the way. I just saw a good moment from Isaiah McKenzie, okay? Because his speed is undeniable, right? The trouble is, can you get him the ball, Cecil? You know, and can he catch the ball? If you can get him the ball down the field a little bit, you're going to see some exciting things because he's going to be hard to stop.
Well, we know who dropped it because it's the CFL's number one overall pick, Mark Chapman, doing push-ups right now as he dropped that last pass. And with McKenzie, notice it's 13. Notice how Tim Patrick's playing more. Notice how River Craycraft playing a little bit more. McKenzie's in a fight for his roster spot right now.
All right, the ones are back in, and there's 83 spread out wide. That's Matt Lacoste.
That's your guy.
That's Matt Lacoste with the ones. Keenum rolls, dumps it down over the middle, and the ball's dropped by Austin Traylor.
Austin Traylor, yep.
So, Orlando, when you see a guy, Matt Lacoste, who is an NFL vet, he's been around a little bit, repping with the ones at tight end, what does that mean to you?
It's good to see that two tight end set. When I was here, that's how we were successful. We would put two tight ends in the game. We had Joel Dreesen. We'd put
Tammy
in. Yeah. We'd put Thomas in with them.
And
it just creates mismatch. I feel like that's the best matchup that you could have for an offense is a tight end, because either they're going to be on a linebacker, which they're obviously going to be bigger than them, mm-hmm. or a corner, which they could just definitely bully them, just basically box them out. So if you could have two tight ends out there that are really good players, I mean, it makes this offense that much successful. It's going to give Case Keenum a lot more targets.
We had a little change of left guard right there, by the way. Ron Leary was out, and I'm sorry I didn't catch it. 70-something was in there.
And Leary getting a little bit of rest, but you do see Jeff Holland getting pressure. They basically called that a sack on that last play on Case Keenum. And Jeff Holland, a guy that was off your 53, D-Mac. I was keeping notes.
Yeah, because I forgot about Clint McConnell. But, I mean, anything can happen at this point. Why haven't we been yelling out Bradley Chubb's name here, fellas? What? Help me out. Well,
he's in right now. He was just in the backfield. Oh, no, that's not him.
Nope. that was 69. Mark Schlereth, man, making an amazing play from the defensive
coming
end,
back.
End plays. I got to look at my numbers.
Antonio Simmons.
Okay. All right. Help me out here. What am I missing here? Why aren't we yelling out Bradley Chubb's name a little bit more?
Because Shane Ray's playing with his hair on fire. And Chubb, you're not seeing with the first team very much. Now, in one-on-one drills, Chubb is standing out, as you expect he would. Mm. With that size, he's meeting quarterbacks in the backfield at the same time at Von Miller. He's just not getting those reps, as many first-team reps, because Shane Ray's playing like a man possessed.
They're going through the team reps relatively quickly here. So Paxton Lynch in. Boy, you see that hitch, right? You just saw it right there, Orlando. It just doesn't come out right away. It's just that extra hesitation.
Yeah, he doesn't look sure of himself out there at all.
That's a tricky one right there because it's a short play. It's just a quick out. There's nothing to it. And what do you got? What do you got, Orlando?
I'm just looking at these kids on that hill
rolling
down the hill.
They are having the time of their lives right there. How much fun is that? And that's what kids really love doing at training camp, not watching football
practice. Not paying attention.
Not paying attention. They love rolling down the hill because they're kids. And the essence of football practice sometimes is brutally boring.
Out comes the net.
All right.
One of our favorite portions of practice.
All right. Well, that was pretty cool, guys. I don't know if we'll get another team drill in for the rest of the day. What time is it? Maybe we will. 11:19. All right. Well, hey, overall, Orlando, hit me with your thoughts so far about today. What have you noticed? What are you seeing?
I'm seeing them. They're working a lot more team drills, and that's exciting to see because now you're trying to figure out who your core group of guys are going to be.
Yeah.
So it's getting more physical out there. It's a little bit chippy, and that's exciting to see because these are the dog days at the end of the day. I mean, so you want to see that. You want to see that intensity, and you just want to see guys just get after it.
Cecil, your observations so far.
If I'm John Elway, I'm getting on the phone or I'm getting a veteran backup because Chad Kelly is a developmental third-string guy, and you don't have a reliable backup. And he said it at the barbecue. You know, I need a guy we can trust. Well, go get a guy because you don't have one right now.
The thing I'm seeing with Paxton, Orlando, and Cecil is that just that little hesitation, right? Like, just not – you know, he seems to be fine if he's moving. If he's moving left, if he's moving right, it's that pure pocket stuff. And what are we talking about here, right? We're talking about practice. You know, we're not going full throttle here.
Talking about practice.
There we go. And still we're seeing hesitations from him, Orlando. As an offensive lineman, can you feel when your quarterback's hesitating?
Absolutely. When they don't want to pull that trigger. And
because you've got a clock too, right?
It changes up your way of approaching games and your way of approaching blocks when you know that quarterback's not going to get rid of that ball as quick as possible and it's going to hesitate. So, I mean, it kind of sucks because it's his third year. It's what, his fourth year?
Third year in the league.
He should be assured of himself at this point. I just mean he should understand the talent that he has out there and just not really be hesitating with these throws.
Yeah, it's a little confounding. It's almost like a psychological thing for whatever reason. You know, it's not a physical thing. He's got all the physical tools that you can imagine. It's just... it's hard to explain.
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
A little bit, unfortunately. But then again, you know, for Chad Kelly, he just doesn't have the experience here.
Well,
this is really his first NFL training.
There's no opportunity coming. We're seeing first-team reps split between Royce Freeman and Devontae Booker in team drills and other guys mixing in. We're not seeing Chad Kelly yet get work with the twos, even though Vance Joseph told you
yesterday
that he was going to get that work.
Yeah, I mean, at what point would you get reps with the twos? I don't know why. Well, let's keep it real. They're doing everything they can for Paxton Lynch, Orlando, at this point, aren't they?
They're their first. It's just their first round pick.
Yeah.
John Elway doesn't want to be wrong at the end of the day.
Right.
You're going to give this guy every opportunity to stay on this team just to make it to free agency to say at least, hey, you know what? We didn't bust that, but we didn't mess up that bad.
All right, let's talk about locker room culture then. You want to sit down? By the way, here's a chair.
No, I'm good.
You're good? All right. Locker room culture. I got to imagine the guys don't talk about it out loudly, but they might grumble about it a little bit. How often, when you know a quarterback is struggling, what kind of talk happens in the locker room? What is that like behind the scenes?
It's just no confidence at the end of the day. It's just, hey, if this guy gets hurt, what do we do from here?
You feel that as a team.
Yeah, you feel that as a team. Everybody just understands it. It's kind of unspoken. I mean, you don't want to hear anybody to hear you talk about that. But you would like to believe that, hey, this is the NFL, that this guy could go in and win a game for us. But right now, let's be honest, if Case Keenum goes down, can Paxton Lynch go in there and win a game for us?
And that's why the wins to me are more important than any sort of pride about missing on a first-round pick. Hey, there are first-round butts. That happens. That's a thing. And to me, this team is set up in a division that is wide open.
Yeah.
Chargers, everybody's hurt, and something always happens. KC, young quarterback. Oakland's Oakland. There's an opportunity for the Broncos to make a playoff run this year. You can't mess it up by not being ready in case of emergency.
You know what's interesting is the belief, having belief in your teammates, like everybody knew Tim Tebow was like a disaster just at practice, right? But... when he would go on the field, I mean, he earned it, right? There was like, we're going to win.
And he brought that intensity.
It was crazy, right?
Even if you knew, I knew Tim Tebow couldn't throw the ball at all. But the way he came, approached it and the whole let's go. And,
wasn't it amazing?
And, yeah, I mean, he brought that intensity and he just willed everybody into believing in him.
I remember talking to Chris Cooper and he was like, I don't know. I don't know why. But I feel like it's going to happen. Like, we're going to win. Paxton's almost the exact opposite. I'm hushing my voice because he's right there. He could still beat me up easily. He's the exact opposite because you see all the physical tools. You see what the potential is. He can certainly throw a football when he chooses to throw it. It's not like that. It's just that you just don't believe that it's going to work with him. It's not going to happen with him.
it's almost the exact opposite of the Tebow factor, where Tebow would just be a disaster. Nobody would think anything, but somehow he would get on the field and Orlando.
But Tebow also cared a lot more about football. I don't think Paxton cares about football.
Why do you think Tebow cared so much about football? What was it about it?
Because he went to Florida. He won all those national championships. Mm-hmm. He got drafted in the first round, mm-hmm. which clearly doesn't mean anything because Paxton was drafted in the first round. But he had that winning tradition. He's always been a winner wherever he wanted, yeah. wherever he was at.
And the guys could feed off that.
Yeah.
They knew that.
And he was a leader. He wasn't a person that was going to get called out or doing any stupidness off the field. Mm-hmm. He was always going to be doing the right things.
Guys respect him.
A leader and a worker. Like, that's at the end of the day, Orlando, you know, to make it in the league, you can't just have physical talent. You got to work.
You got to work.
And Tebow, God bless him. God literally bless him. He's a worker.
Yeah.
Not very good at throwing a ball, but he worked his ass off.
All right, let's take a break. This is awesome. I'd love it if you guys just hung around, make my shift a lot easier. Who knew what was going to happen? But I love having you guys here. If you want to hang around, I encourage it. Well, you know, the players will break off here in a little bit, but they're going through, you know, the pointless special team stuff that they tend to do in the middle of a real football practice. We'll take a quick break live from training camp. It's Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Live from training camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, here's DMAC.
All right, Cecil joins me. They're back at team. What we got going on, Cecil? We got Keenum in.
Yeah,
play
Keenum's
action,
in
rolls
first
to his
team.
Right, throws it to somebody.
It looked like it might have been intended for Sanders. And what we've seen today, you know, the big play to Sutton, a couple of other plays, but we've seen the defense kind of fight back. And D-Mac, how long has it been since we saw balance out here?
It's been a
while. Where it wasn't just the offense getting beat up all day by this defense.
I just have a feeling of us making excuses like,
it's tough to make plays against this defense.
This defense is so good, and that definitely has not been the case. It is balanced. It's not like the offense is blowing out the defense. But
is there a chance that the Broncos' offense will be better than the Broncos' defense this year?
Yes, there's a very good chance of that. There's an extremely good chance of that because last time I checked, Joe Woods is still the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. So, he gives me, like, zero confidence. But, you know, that's just me. What can I say? I think our secondary's got issues, Cecil, in terms of our cornerbacks. I think we're light in depth. Sua Cravens is out today. Do we know what's going on with Sua Cravens, by the way?
He had some knee soreness, and that's been continuing on. Same thing with Jeff Hyreman. At least we're remembering Sua Cravens.
Jeff Hyreman is out.
Come on, Jeff Hyreman.
Man. I mean, how many days in a row are – is this his third mispractice? Fourth mispractice?
It might be fourth.
Give me a break.
It's been a while, and Austin Traylor standing out, Jay Booty, Jake Butt standing out, Troy Fumagalli making plays, when you know, you know. And it just looks like the Broncos' third-round pick from 2015 just isn't going to work out.
There's
Parker again.
The second team. And Paxton Lynch, they're making a nice play there. Listen, when people may get the wrong impression sometimes that Paxton Lynch isn't like a dumpster fire out there. I mean, it's not like he's not making football plays or completing passes. It's just that we're looking at Paxton Lynch, Cecil, from the prism of a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
And what you have to do in that role. That's where he's just fallen a little bit flat. In controlled circumstances, just like we saw, he looks just fine. But we know when it gets a little bit more hectic and a little bit more busy, if you're hesitating, you're in trouble.
Well, and you've got that big motion.
Here you go,
right there. Here he goes,
rolls
throwing,
to the left.
Rolling left.
And he's tucking
and he just
in
takes
and
off to run.
There you go. So that was a play right there. He's in the pocket, right? The play was not designed to move. He wasn't designed to move left, not designed to move right. He's in the pocket, and then he just can't pull the trigger, so he just does what he does.
Takes off to run.
Takes off and run. And we even see that on 7-on-7 drills, Cecil. It's not just in team drills.
Which you should never see in 7-on-7 because that is a strictly passing drill.
This is interesting. Cortland Sutton is in with Paxton Lynch. If I'm Paxton Lynch, I am just throwing to Courtland Sutton no matter what.
Yeah, don't even make the read. Just put it up there where the big man can get it and nobody else can. But so, we've seen too many batted passes from Paxton.
Sutton is, I'm not sure, and Janovich is in. Sutton is spread to the right.
Deshaun's in on the left.
Drops back. Throws it deep to Sutton. Catch the ball. Did he catch it?
Oh, no.
Well, there you go. Well, he did exactly what he should do in that particular situation. Sutton was in, and he throws it deep to the right. Nice throw. I'm not exactly, you know, that is in the end zone, deep down the right sideline.
Is this where we're at, though? Because the other day, not us, but there were some people on our station going nuts because Paxton had a good day. He's doing his job. Are we really at that point where the guy does what he's supposed to and we're like, hey, you know, he did what he's supposed to. Yay. Like,
well, maybe, because it depends on where the bar is set.
Are you talking about the new normal? He's Blaine Gabbert. He's not the future. He's not Josh Allen or Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold. He's not the future. He's a first-round backup. That's what he is. Can you trust that?
Here he is. Quick slant, no hesitation. That's that bubble screen sort of thing, and that's like a two-yard gain.
Yeah.
There's a lot of plays in the NFL, Cecil, that are designed to get like 2 yards, and that's one of them. I mean, you hope you can break something and maybe something happens.
But again, we're talking about a game of microseconds. When you have that long windup, even a short throw like that, it takes a little bit longer to get that ball out, and the defense has a little bit more time to jump or to react.
It is interesting to see Courtland Sutton running with the twos in this situation. You know, you can't blame Paxton. If Courtland Sutton's in the game, and he is, he's now in 36, David Williams, right? Am
yes.
I right on that?
Yep. Williams himself having an impressive camp so far.
Oh, this is, hey, here we go. Chad Kelly throws it out to Courtland Sutton.
And that was on Chris Harris.
Yeah, I mean, I may be stepping on some sacred cows here, Cecil, but what do you think of Chris Harris so far in this training camp?
He's having some struggles. There are
What do you think that's all about?
Maybe trying to do too much. You know, if they're coaching Roby not to do that, maybe Chris has taken it upon himself to try to do too much. But even on one-on-one drills where it's just mano-a-mano, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is getting beat by Courtland Sutton.
All right, so I'm trying to see, is this – there's kind of a blend in here with Chad Kelly now. And I guess it's a third team offensive line for sure. Under center from Sam Jones. 19 in motion. Is that Deers?
Jordan Leslie.
Leslie, yeah, sorry. Said his name again. Deep sideline throw to left and something happened.
Orlando Franklin blocked out the
That's
sun.
That's okay.
So. Something good, though, because Tim Patrick is raising his arms. But
Tim Patrick, Cecil, where do you see him in this camp?
You know, that's where Isaiah McKenzie's biggest competition may come from.
Okay.
I think early in camp, a week ago when camp started, we're like, yeah, McKenzie had a good spring. We'll see if he can carry it over. He's like the fifth guy. I don't know if he's the seventh guy right now. And Tim Patrick is the guy getting more work, getting more reps, getting first-team reps with this team. And then you have to decide, what do you want? Because if you look at the duos this team has, they have Thomas Sanders, big and little.
All right, let's
they
say
have Sutton
real
Hamilton,
quick.
Big and little.
Because there's Isaiah McKenzie in the slot right now, right? So, I mean, let's just see who he's going against and if he can possibly get open, right? Like, they've got to see if this could possibly work. Snap to Kelly, flushed out, dumps it off to a running
D'Angelo,
back, like a
yeah.
six-yard loss.
Yeah. Well, you have to decide because McKenzie
good play by the defense
may not
right
give you as much in special teams, especially with Phillip Lindsay back there playing the return man. And then do you want size? What do you covet at that position? Do you covet size at the wide receiver, at the reserve wide receiver spot? Do you want a big man or do you want a little guy? Or do you have enough little guys already because Phillip Lindsay can play slot receiver?
Orlando Franklin joining us again. Chad Kelly, what are your impressions of Chad Kelly so far, Orlando?
I think he could be a backup, but he's not ready right now. I mean,
what's he missing?
He's missing the offensive line so we get a better look, to be honest with you. That third offensive line doesn't seem like they could block anybody
right
to give him any time. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this is the NFL. You're going to see a lot of different looks that defense is going to show you. They're going to show you a lot of different shells and come out in different coverages and stuff like that. But he's not developed at that point yet to be able to make those reads and understand, like, okay, boom, my first option's not open, like, throw the check down and just move on to the next play.
How do you get that experience without playing in actual games?
just repetition. I mean, he wasn't out here last year because he came in with those injuries, just the repetitions. And that's what makes it so disappointing to see Paxton so far behind, because he's a guy that's been out here these last couple years, and he still hasn't developed. He's still hesitating to do a lot of things out here.
Ooh, deep throw to – oh, man. And that can happen in training camp, man. If you throw a pass a little off, a little short.
A little bit late, too, from Chad Kelly. That was trying to hit – I think it was trying to hit Tim Patrick there.
Yeah, because the defense just laid out Tim Patrick. And
Brendan Langley came through and knocked a play away. When Langley's not facing Sutton or Sanders or Thomas, he knocked the play away right there. So we're going to praise Brendan Langley for that play.
You know, it's funny. In training camp, there's a certain rhythm of things, Orlando. But when things go a little bit askew, when they go off target – you see collisions all the time. I mean, sometimes collisions that just make you catch your breath a little bit, like, whoa.
Yeah, they tend to be very scary. I mean, you don't want a guy getting hurt, and you're not even doing tackling drills. I mean,
no. But on that play, it's just like, oh, it's the rhythm's off. The ball's not where it's supposed to be. They're not trying to necessarily contact the guy, but it's just, you run into each other if you stay out there. Although, let me tell you, though, we have not seen a whole lot of injuries here, fellas, on the field, have we? We haven't seen a lot of moments where guys are being carted off, and we haven't had anybody, which is good. It's a positive thing. Orlando, did you ever work with Lauren Landau? I'm just curious if you have or not.
I worked with him in the offseason last year.
Last year,
that's
okay.
When I was out here, because typically when I was out here playing, I mean, when you're here playing, you don't want to be here in off season, so you get away, because that's your only time to travel. Then when you're not here playing, for me, like, I love it here, so now I'm here all the time.
He's the anti-Marquette King. He loves Colorado.
Yeah.
So Lauren was what type of guy to work out with? How did you like that process working out with Lauren?
He just was very accommodating. I mean, hey, if you don't back squat, he found different things to help you out, to keep you strong, keep your legs strong. So he wasn't a type of coach that was like, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. Like, he was very lenient with stuff, but he made sure that you were still keeping up your strength.
We got to take a break, but now I'm scared.
D-Max, get my back.
Oh, we have fun out here at training camp. All right, let's take a quick break while I throw things at Tyler Palumbus. And the players are stretching now. They're done with practice for the day. So we'll hear what the coaches have to say. We'll see what players, do extra. That's always interesting. The fans are lining up for autographs. And we got you covered for the next couple hours right here at training camp on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Live from training camp 2018, inside the walls of UC Health Training Center, here's DMAC.
Practice has wrapped up for the day. It's your pal D-Mac here on a gorgeous day at Dove Valley. We had extensive team periods. Practice not quite done. Team periods are done. They've done some stretching together as a team, but they've broken off into position sort of walkthrough drills. So this may be one of the longer practices actually of camp so far, to be honest with you, which indicates to me that tomorrow might be a little bit lighter, and then they have the day off on Monday. So hey, I should throw it out there. Kyle Berry's back there in the studio, 303-713-1043, Kyle. This might be a good time if anybody's got some thoughts or some questions or, whatever. My man Johnny Love at the Wheels of Steel. Dylan, engineering like a devil. It's incredible, the teamwork we have out here. Saw Mark Schlereth earlier. Saw Sandy Clough is out here. And like I said, everybody's kind of gathered around. We'll go to the podiums, too, in terms of hearing what everybody has to say today. But, yeah, not quite done. I thought actually that was going to be more or less a wrap, but they haven't quite finished. I'm just sort of observing who's doing what. The defense is all together, running through some drills. Looks like some conditioning, tackling sort of stuff. All right, yeah, sure. I love doing these weekends because we're a little bit looser and happy to talk to you. So we start with Wyatt. Wyatt, you're on the fan. What's going on, Wyatt? Oh, my. Oh. Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, anyways, 303-713-1043. 303-713-1043. Good day at camp. No injuries that I can tell. I'm looking. I think they're going to work on some punt return over there. I'm looking at Isaiah McKenzie, and you know you can tell that his teammates like Isaiah. You can tell they're rooting for him. The tricky part is, you know, where does he really fit in here? And that, my friends, is not incredibly obvious. I'm not sure where that's going to go. But we have River Craycraft, Deshaun Hamilton, and Isaiah McKenzie sort of going over to the jugs machine to take a few catches. You see the tight ends working on their own. So you see Chad Kelly trying to get some extra reps with Austin Traylor. So the ball goes through his hands, and nobody's guarding him. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Hi, Robert.
Hey, D-Mac.
Hey.
I was just trying to find out, is camp being as physical as you guys were talking about before camp started? Are they actually being physical? Do you think it's the level of physicality that you guys thought they needed this year?
Yeah, that's a good question, Robert. Sort of. You know, you can never really tell. Because they're just not taking guys to the ground. So, I don't know. I guess it's a good question. I don't know is kind of the answer. And I appreciate it. We're having Matt Lacoste come join us right now. And appreciate him coming over right after practice. Matt, what's going on? Okay. Nice to meet you. How are you? How's camp treating you so far?
It's good. Weather's been phenomenal. Not usually used to this.
Right.
Beautiful weather out here, but it's been good.
Talk to us about your journey. What got you here to the Denver Broncos?
Oh, my journey's pretty crazy. Was an undrafted kid out of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
To the Giants. Got cut the first day of camp.
Why'd you get cut?
I tore my right hamstring.
You're kidding me. How did you do that?
I just running an over route, made a move on a linebacker.
Could you believe it?
Tore. No, I've never had a hamstring problem in my life, so it was...
Have you thought about that moment? Like, what possibly caused that moment was...
I mean, it's just football. I mean,
it never happened. It never happened to you in Illinois, never happened to you in high school.
I could have been dehydrated. I could have done something else.
Something like that.
Yeah, it could have been anything.
All right, so bad. That stinks.
But,
then what?
I'm sitting at home interviewing for jobs because I think my football career is over.
What kind of jobs are you interviewing for?
Honestly, I was just trying to get used to it. Sales jobs, just something around the area, just because I was getting sick of being at home.
Wow. And where's home?
Naperville, Illinois.
Illinois. Okay.
Yeah. But then the Giants called me back week 8, and I got a tryout and got put on their practice squad.
Had you been training?
Yeah. I mean, I was training every day.
Okay.
In case.
Okay.
And then 4 weeks later, I got called up to the active roster and then played the rest of the year the active roster the following year, tore my knee, got put on IR.
So you're still with the team, but you're on IR.
Yeah, and then the following year after that, I make the team, make the 53-man roster, play all 13 games. Get cut, put on practice squad for a week, and then the Broncos called me, signed me to their active roster, and now I'm here.
Okay.
So
that sounds exhausting.
It's.
How's your family been in this whole process?
They've been amazing. My mom and dad they rarely miss a game. They never missed a game in college. They've been to all the big games here. My wife has been absolutely phenomenal and supportive the whole time. She's kept me going. So it's just been, they've been the best, and they've been along for the ride, and I don't know if I could have done it without them.
Well, not to blow too much smoke, but you've impressed us here. We were going through, you know, the first week and who you got on. I got you on the 53 because I see intangibles with you, with your height and your athleticism that I think the tight end position has become, to be honest with you. And it feels like at the tight end position, man, third down red zone, what can you do for us? And you have athleticism. Did you play basketball?
Basketball and baseball.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Baseball.
Back in the day.
Were you a pitcher?
Pitcher and a shortstop.
You're a 6'6" pitcher? You should be in Major League Baseball right now.
Couldn't throw a curveball. Could throw heat, but couldn't throw anything else.
All right, so you've been a pretty impressive athlete your whole life. You've had some bad injury luck. How are you feeling so far in this game? What are you doing differently to stay maybe a little bit healthier this time around?
Well, I'm a little bit older. I know what I need to work on. It's my fourth year going into the league. In the offseason, I really focus on my lower body. My upper body is pretty much as strong as it's going to get.
Right.
So that's more maintaining, but more just kind of working smart, making sure I get the right hamstring lifts and glutes lift, everything along those lines. Just my workout regimen in the offseason just is contained of certain aspects where I know my muscles need to be stronger in those areas.
What, you know, it's funny just watching so many training camps throughout, you know, time. It's almost like what you don't have to do, like what you don't have to worry about and what does matter. Do you feel like you've learned a lot through your years so far through the NFL about, I don't have to worry about this stuff, but I do have to worry about this other stuff that gives you some sort of advantage?
Yeah, it kind of comes down to time management. It's just what you want to focus on, what is important,
right?
What do you need to be good at, what are the coaches looking for you to be good at, and then what are your kind of complementary aspects of your game? Like, you might be a great blocker, and you're known for your blocking ability, but in the red zone, can you get open on a one-on-one matchup? That's right. Kind of your complementary part of the game. So just going back and forth with that.
You know, tight ends, it's a quirky situation because are you a receiver? Are you a blocker? Who are you? How important is blocking now for you? Like, how much time do you spend on it?
I mean, we're both. We're offensive linemen and we're wide receivers. I think blocking, the big thing is, what I love most about blocking is that you have to earn the respect of the offensive linemen, guys who are doing it every single day. And if you get a power call and you have that defensive end, you don't want to let down the guys on the offensive line. So I think it's an important part. I think every single one of us takes a big responsibility when it comes to that, and we look forward
you're willing
to it.
For it.
You're fine with it. You can't make it to this level if you're not willing to block as a tight end.
Well, that's an interesting debate. We've had that conversation quite often. Well, because red zone's an issue. Third down's an issue. And, you know, the height advantage you have, are you a real 6'6", or are you 6'5", and change, or?
At my pro day at Illinois, I got measured at 6'5", and 7/8". So they didn't quite give me the 6'6", but when I have cleats on, I'm 6'6".
Right, because when don't you have shoes on? Yeah. I tell people that all the time. That's why I'm 5'8". So in terms of this camp, what's different? What's different out here than we've seen before? What's different for you in this camp as compared to other camps?
I think I'm a little bit more, I know what to expect more in camp. This is my fourth training camp.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I understand it gets fits. I understand playbooks better. I understand defenses better. I understand what the coaches are looking for me. And I'm one of the tight ends that just has to be a multiple tight end. I got a lineup at wide receiver, tight end, fullback. I was at running back today for one play.
How'd you do?
I did well. I didn't get the ball. They didn't give me the ball, but that's fine. So it's just multiple things that I have to do, and I think that's what I bring most to the table.
How's the room?
It's fun. It's a fun group of guys.
Yeah.
It's a really good time. Jeep makes it a lot of fun, and we all get along really well. We're all Big Ten guys besides one, but we like Brian too.
Are you overall from Albany? Are you overall enjoying your time here in Colorado and Denver?
Oh, of course, Colorado. I love New York and New Jersey.
Yeah.
But Colorado is exactly opposite of New York, New Jersey. It's nice to kind of spread out. When I was here last year, me and my wife were able to go up into the mountains, hang out for a little bit, and then in the off season for a birthday, went whitewater rafting. Never done that before.
Nice.
So it was
which river? Arkansas or
Idaho? We were in Idaho Springs.
Idaho Springs. Okay. Clear Creek. County, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
And went to a beautiful awesome barbecue place out there too, which blew my mind away. But I've had a great time here. Went to a few Rockies games against.
Nice.
I'm from Chicago, so they were playing the Cubs. So check
you're
that
one
out.
Of those guys. Oh my god.
Check that out.
Oh my lord. It's going so well, this interview and the Cubs thing. Well, Matt, I want to thank you. Case Keenum. Your impressions of Case Keenum as a quarterback.
He's a pro's pro. The way he releases the ball and how fast he gets it out is unbelievable. We were talking about it the other day in the tight ends room. We're shocked that this is the first time he's coming into.
Can you tell when the quarterbacks are, boom, they make those decisions quickly as compared to quarterbacks that are just a little hesitant?
Well, he can anticipate. He's really good at anticipating, especially when there's pressure. Mm-hmm. He knows when to get rid of it, and he knows where to get rid of it. So he does a very nice job with that.
What's your relationship with Eli?
Eli's my boy.
Yeah?
Eli's my boy. We got along really well in New York. Texting every now and then. Awesome guy. Awesome individual.
Have you just cause, have you had a relationship with Peyton at all because of Eli? Or
No. I think I shook his hand once and said, "Hi, Peyton, I'm Matt." But obviously, I spent every single day with Eli for pretty much 3 years.
Right, right.
Didn't have the pleasure to spend every day with Peyton.
I was always impressed with how the leadership skills of Eli, kind of in a more quiet sort of way, but he earns it. And I wonder, in terms of quarterbacks over the years, Matt, what that means. You don't have to be the loudest guy, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a misnomer. Eli is kind of like, when you first meet him, kind of a quiet, awkward guy. But when you get him in a team setting and everything, he's vocal, and he takes care of his business, holds everybody accountable to what they have to do. But you don't always have to be the loud talker to be the leader. As long as you have the respect of your teammates, respect of your coaches, anyone, you can be a leader.
All right, I'll let you go. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Matt. And best of luck. Best
Thank
luck
so
the rest
much.
Of the way here. No problem. And he roots for the Cubs, but he's not the only one. We're tight end palooza right here as Austin Traylor comes over to the table. Nice to have you here, Austin. Thank you so much. And big right here, Johnny. We get all those. Okay, we'll get them some that work. My man, I appreciate you coming over here. How you feeling today?
Good. No problem. Thank you.
Looks like you had the busiest team practice day of the entire camp today. Can you talk about practice today?
It was a good practice. I mean, we had a lot of different situations and stuff. I think it was needed. It was more simulation of game. Like, you know what I'm saying, you're not always going to script exactly how it's going to move. So they jumped around some today. So I think that was simulation of game. Like,
you feel like a veteran here with the Broncos at this point?
Do I feel like a veteran? No. I ain't been around long enough.
I don't know. You've been around a good chunk of time.
I've been here for a while, but this is year three. It's not that long.
Yeah, but, you know, it's – well, how about this? Isn't it crazy how much the roster actually does change in a short period of time? It's compared to when you were first here with the Broncos till now, right? Are you used to that, the amount of change that happens?
Used to it, I don't know. I mean, it's part of it. You understand that when you come to the NFL, it's not college anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's different, and it's a business, it's a job, so everybody's interviewing and hiring every year.
How's that guy doing, Matt Lacoste? How's he?
He's doing good. He's doing well. He joined us at the end of last season.
Right.
He's coming along. I mean, I think he's doing good. I think he's having a good offseason.
All right, tight ends in general, what kind of differences this year compared to last year? Your roles, your participation in things, how are you feeling about this year compared to last year?
This year compared to last year is different for me just because of my role. Like I said, second year. I've played some, so kind of just learning and mastering the playbook and being more reliable to the coaches and to my teammates.
You're an interesting blend because you can get physical with anybody, no doubt about that. But you're an athlete too. You can get out there and catch the ball and do anything in that regard. How do you view yourself?
I view myself as versatile. Not any other way. I feel like I can do both. I know I can do both, and that's what I've just been working on. To improve on both ends of catching and route running and blocking and standing and getting physical.
How about the difference with the offensive line this year? As you're a big part of the blocking schemes. What can you feel that's a little bit different?
The urgency. I feel the urgency is different. I feel like after you have a losing season, though, that's the intensity that comes back because like none of us like losing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And last year we won 5 games, so I think you can feel that in the locker room and on the field that. People don't want to go through that type of season again.
What was your off season like, or your summer at least? What kind of stuff did you do to stay in shape and train? What'd you work on?
Mainly core and speed. I mean, back at home, I do my general main lifts.
Where's home for you?
Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm back in Columbus during the off season, but primarily working on speed and core, locked in, been able to hold and sustain blocks as well as run and accelerate.
Okay, Austin. Why is this team going to be different than last year? Why is it going to be different?
Because we've learned from last year.
What'd you learn?
I mean, everything. I mean, the grind of – like, last year was my first time playing, going through the actual grind of a full season, actually getting in. So, I mean, I learned a lot in preparation and film-watching and understanding. But as a team, as a whole, I know the experience in with a bunch load of the guys coming back, that experience is – you know what I'm saying? You're always going to adapt.
Case Keenum's the man. It's clear. How much of a difference does that make?
Case Keenum's really good. I think he can make a big difference. I think he'll be very exciting for us to have in offense.
What kind of leader is he?
He's a great leader. He's not too hard on anybody, but he holds everybody accountable, and it's a good thing to have when the quarterback's clear. You know what I'm saying? He understands everything, and you feel like he's holding you accountable, and you know he's holding you accountable.
What do you expect for yourself this year?
Honestly, I just play it day by day right now. You know what I'm saying?
Are you nervous about making the team, or are you beyond that?
I mean, it's all part of it. Like I said,
really?
Everybody's interviewing throughout this fall camp. So, I mean, I don't know. So,
I think you'll be okay. But
day in and day out.
I suppose that's a paranoia that reaches into you, that you're nervous about stuff. But I think, Austin, I think you're doing great. Are you the most physical of the tight ends?
I'm a very physical tight end.
Austin, I'll let you go. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Austin Traylor, he's by far the most physical of the tight ends, but we appreciate the humbleness. So there you go. I love it. It's an interesting group this year for sure, with Matt Lacoste, Austin Traylor. It is interesting, you know, what will happen in that tight end room that Jeff Heuermann has missed another day of camp. Will you have a guy like Matt Lacoste? Usually it's four guys that make the 53. We're fixing to find out. Okay, we'll see what's going on at the podium. I'm not sure if Kyle, I'm not sure where we're at with that. Nothing yet? Okay, great. So let's take a quick break. We can hear from Vance Joseph and whoever comes up as we roll on live from Training Camp 2018 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.